You're listening to Weeb Chat Radio.
What is up, my friends? The time has come for another episode of Weeb Chat Radio. What is going on, guys? And happy Halloween. Benji here at your service, taking out the sights and sounds of All Hallows Eve as kids get ready to don their spooky costumes and go around searching out that much needed candy. Today's episode is dedicated to that awesome genre known as horror, as we break down some of the top horror anime ever. In no descending order, we're going to go down a few of the most awesome horror anime ever. So, just like we always do, there's a little housekeeping involved. Where can you reach the show? You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Weeb Chat Radio. Also on the Facebook, we've actually moved the URL due to, unfortunately, being hacked and Facebook being unwilling to help. We had to create a new Facebook page. So going forward, all episodes and posts will go to the Weeb Chat Radio podcast at facebook.com. You can hit us on Instagram at Weeb Chat Radio. You can check us out at Weeb Chat Radio on Twitter at ChatWeeb. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can always hit us up on Anchor, on our main page, anchor.com/WeebChatRadio. You can leave us a message. You can also leave us an email at WeebChatRadio@gmail.com. Also, you can leave us a message on any podcast platform that you hear this show on. So Google Pod, Apple Pod, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and more. Just leave a message. Tell us what you think of the show. What do you want to hear more about the show? More episodic breakdowns, more news stories, or just a general conversation on shows that should get a season 2. Whatever. You can hit us up and we will definitely respond. Also, you can help myself and Brian out on our side endeavors. You can check out Brian, aka Bri King Bowser, at Bri King Bowser at twitch.tv. You can check out my slowly moving page at MegaKnight360 at twitch.tv. Brian does everything from Final Fantasy, Genshin Impact, Tales of Arise, and much, much more. I'm more of a sports gamer, so you'll see some Madden, F1 22. You will see some first-party shooters, Call of Duty, some third-party shooter gaming such as Saints or the new Saints Row that popped out a couple of months ago. So check us out and come have some fun. And as always, to help the show out, you can always check out our merch store at myspreadshop.com/WeebChatRadio. We have a plethora of awesome designs that you can check out, and all proceeds go to help the show grow. So none of this is basically to line our pockets and anything like that. This is all just to spread the love of anime, man. So, hey, if you can help us out any kind of way, much appreciated. So, all the housekeeping stuff done, let's get into the week that was anime. All right, so our first story will deal with anyone who loves Kaguya Sama, Love is War, and I'm one of them. God, dude, I was so sad for the 1 hour season three ending back in June. But am I the only one that, how can I say this? Am I the only one who doesn't like anime to end on a movie? I mean, give me a fourth season and end it that way, you know? And this also goes with Quintessential Quintuplets, though. Crunchyroll did announce that there will be screenings of the movie here in the United States. As soon as that announcement hit, and I'm just speaking this weekend alone, like Friday, was it Friday? Friday when they announced this, YouTube was blistered with clip upon clip upon clip of that movie. And as a Quint fan, part of me was like, I'm happy. And I tried my best to maneuver around these clips so they wouldn't show me the ending. Like, I think one YouTuber put, every time Futuro interacted with one of the Quints, I kind of caught their little 6 second clip. And I went, okay, cool. As long as you don't show me the ending, because I kind of want to know how this, I know how it ends, the manga ends. I know how the manga ends, but I'm here, please, please God, let it be somewhat of an anime original twist to this ending. So, okay, that rant is over with, but here we go. So, season 3 of Kaguya Sama ended with a bang, with a 1 hour season premiere, however, only to be announced that there will be a movie called The First Kiss Never Ends, adapting the manga's story arc of the same name. This past Sunday, teaser graphic and a small teaser video was announced for the film's December 17th opening. The staff also announced that a television episode worth of footage from the project will be screened at Anime NYC this November, and there will be a talk at the panel with lead voice actor Ayo Koga and producers Yuichiro Kikuchi. God, I these names, dudes. A1 Pictures to Aniplex will stream this worldwide, as they say. That's kind of cool. The anime will air on television in Japan after a special screening in theaters. So, hey, in Japan, you got a little bit of work for us. Let's wait. But fans of Kaguya, it's been a ride, man, right? It's been a ride. So I guess we get the all things come to an end, man. And it's time for Kaguya to ride into the sunset. Alright, so this next story also deals with a movie. For all you Detective Conan fans out there who've been riding with this manga ever since it started, since the anime launched back in 1996. Lord. Over 1,000 episodes have aired, multiple movies. But yet, this, its most recent movie, has hit a milestone. So, Detective Conan, The Bride of Halloween, the franchise's 25th movie, has earned a total of 9.48 billion yen, which kind of comes in US dollars to 63.94 million, after a Halloween special re-screening that happened this past last weekend, making it the highest earning anime film in Detective Conan history. The film has sold 82,000 tickets to earn over 114 million yen, about $768,700 over the weekend, which pushed the film past the 9.37 billion yen mark. Earnings of one of the movie's last movies, Detective Conan, Fist of the Blue Sapphire, the new screening is a 1 minute longer than the original screening of the film, and it will screen until November 7th in Japan. The film opened in Japan on April 15th, sold 1.32 million tickets for 1.941 billion yen. In the US, that kind of equates to about $15 million. It's the first, in the first 3 days, the film earned 1% more of its first three days than the previous record-holding film. Wow, that's awesome. All right. So, congrats to Detective Conan. Please give me more episodes. I know we're on kind of a break, but it's been, you know, as an avid watcher of Detective Conan, it's been 2 weeks, man. I need my boy Conan. But congratulations. All right, so our next news story is kind of a shock announcement, to be real about it. So US time, sorry. Yesterday was announced, and I didn't catch it. It's weird. This was announced yesterday, and I didn't hear about it on Twitter until this morning. That's messed up. Banished from the Heroes Party gets a second season. All right. Season 1's director, head writer, designer, and main cast celebrates the awesome news. The staff for the television anime of Zappon and Yashimo's banished from the Heroes Party. I decided to live a life on the countryside is being greenlit for a second season with a new key visual. No timetable. And just, God, the whole cast went nuts on Twitter. there's no timetable for the anime at all when it's coming out. But you know how it works with animes. We get the announcement, and I swear to you, about a year later, we will see a trailer. I say about half a year, we'll see a trailer. Then we get the anime the following season. Because these time slots are all laid out in advance. So, okay. So if you remember the story, Red was once a member of the Heroes Party, a powerful, destined group to save the world from the evil forces of Taraxion, the raging demon lord. That is, until one day, his comrades kick him out, hoping to live the easy life. On the frontier, Red's new goal is to open... I thought it was a pharmacy. Place to help out adventurers and stuff. Okay. However, keeping the secret of his former life may not be as simple as he thinks, especially when the beautiful Reet, an adventurer from his past, shows up and asks to move in with him. Thus the adventure begins. Yeah. Reet. She was cute. I liked her. But I also like the hero too. So she was just emotionless killing machine and Kate gave no crap, but she was, you know, if you haven't seen the anime, I'm not gonna spoil it. But season two, again, a lot, there have been a lot of shock announcements for new animes getting second or third seasons, which is cool, which is awesome. I can't wait to see. They just show key visuals, which is cool, especially with Reet and the hero. She still looks somewhat emotionless, but kind of cute. Hey, well, let's see what happens. All right, so I'm going to combine this into two things here. So, over the weekend, the author of Rent a Girlfriend has stated on Twitter that he has decided on the final arc. And it was met with a lot of backlash. We all know that season 3 of Rent a Girlfriend has been announced, and the manga had been put on hiatus for a little bit while the author announced a new manga about relationships within a family. I forget the name of the title. And again, going back to the backlash, a lot of people were saying, man, this, you know, oh, this manga is so mid, you know, you should go ahead and end it. Coming off the manga and the anime that I watched to get into Rent a Girlfriend, so I read Domestic Girlfriend and watched the first season, which, that was a slow burn. I really do wish it had gotten a second season, because again, it was a very slow burn to get to where they cut the anime off. But hey, if he's going into the final arc, let's make it spicy. Let's find out. I feel bad for the other three girls, because we all know who's winning here. It's been written solid, so to speak. You know, that card was handed in from the start. So I feel bad for Rika, Mami, and Sumi. They just got royally screwed, man. And then finally, if you are a fan of The Duke of Death and His Maid, the author, Ino Works, is launching another manga. This is going to be in 2023. It's going to be serialized in 2023 around spring. There is no title to this manga, but they did drop a key visual, which will be in the title, which I'm going to drop as basically the title in the title part of the podcast, of the heroine of the series. And she looks an awful lot. She looks like a mixture of Alice from Duke of Death. And, how can I place this face? If you guys remember the anime Daigashi, the one about the girl who's all obsessed with candy, trying to get the dude to take over his dad's candy shop, it's like these two characters merged, in a sense. That's the best description I can make for this. But it goes on to read that The Duke of Death and His Maid manga has announced that we'll be doing a new manga in the spring. There's no title reveal. They only posted an image, but you can clearly see the references where this is going. The Duke of Death and His Maid was created back in October 2017 by Sunday Webbery, and it ended its series run this past May. Shogakukan published the manga's first compiled book volume in January 2018 and published the 16th and final volume this past July. Seven Seas Publishing Company put the manga in English and just launched its first compiled book in May, and will publish the fourth and fifth compiled volume in December and March, respectively. The anime launched a couple years ago, and a second season has been announced for the anime. Wait, the sequel, the second season, will debut sometime in 2023. So, the mangaka of the Duke of Death and his main is moving on to something more. So, let's find out what it is in next year, and hope it's just as good, because if the Duke of Death and his main, to me, was a surprise hit. It was one of those ones that I just like, dude, I like this. I like this premise. And I kind of feel like this premise kind of carried over. Didn't have a supernatural element to it, but it's kind of carried over to the main I hired is suspicious. The one that just ended his past season. So that's the closest example I can give you. So, but let's see what happens. I just wanted to add this in. For those of you that are into Death Note, and I will be covering this, the original, in a few. But if you're into Death Note, I hope that you guys checked out the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode last night and their rendition of Death Note, or how they called it, the Death Tome. My God, that was 7 minutes of greatness. I mean, the style was captured perfectly. having Lisa be the MC, you know, portray light, and just, and the comedic way they went about representing Death Note was just flawless. And I implore you guys, check it out. Just check it out. It was a masterpiece. 7 minutes and 17 seconds of awesomeness, man. I mean, I'm not going to ruin it for you guys. I will not ruin it, but just check it out. If you have Fox on Demand, check out Fox on Demand. Check it out. Also, it's on YouTube. I caught it late last night, and then only to wake up this morning to find it on YouTube already. Like, yo, I sat back and watched it again because I just bawled out on how awesome that looked. Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, Death Note Tribute, Death Tome. Check it out, man. I implore you. All right, so in no particular order, we're gonna talk about some of the best horror anime around. So we're gonna start off with 1987's Perfect Blue. The story is about Mima, a J-pop idol singer who decides to leave her group to pursue an acting career. Now, this is where all hell breaks loose. In the midst of starting her new career as a actress, and a deranged fan who can't tell fiction from reality, her as an idol singer, her as an actress, he begins to stalk her, sending her messages, sending her death threats, the whole kit and caboodle, to the point where Mima starts to lose touch reality herself. There is a real shocker. There's a shocking thing at the end of this, so I implore you to check this out. This won a lot of awards back in the day, but this also shows it's more of a story about the human condition, and you hear more and more about fans breaking into singers' homes and stuff like that, you know, especially in the 90s, especially here in the 2000s. So it was kind of a stark truth. Now, the next one is the one I'm confused about. I get confused about it every time I watch it, but I know what it is because it's on the original. Higurashi, When They Cry. Now, we're going with the 2006 version, okay? Now, we all know about the about our intrepid little cutie crew. Our boy Keiji, who lives in a seemingly idyllic rural village in Japan. But in this little village, there is a dark underbelly secret that lies beneath it. And it's a connection, strange connection to the government, a government project. Also a strange connection to a village ritual. Things get a little bit more insane when everything starts to get entangled in mystery, and things get weirder and weirder when a bunch of brutal murders start taking place. You slowly, through the storytelling, you start just kind of put the pieces together on what's going down. Also, it is the first anime I ever seen where you got to see kids taking people out in the most brutal fashion possible. Go from cute moe to, oh my god, I have a hatchet in my chest, what just happened? That type of, it happens in a heartbeat. Now remember, this got brought back with Higurashi Go and Higurashi Setsu in the past couple of years. So the original is the one that I implore you guys to check out. Also, hell, check out the two, you know, Go and Setsu. I always got confused with the story, mainly because this thing went from, oh my god, they're having a fun time at the pool and playing hide and seek with zombies, you know, in PE, then all of a sudden someone's getting gutted or shot, or just, what happened? What anime am I watching? This is the question we ask. Okay. Now, again, I did say I was going to mention this earlier, but The Simpsons paid tribute to Death Note. So let's talk about 2006 Death Note, Light Yagami. Ah, oh, man. Ah, Death Note, the story of Light Yagami, a hyper-smart teenager who makes a strange and life-changing discovery. Finding the Death Note, a supernatural notebook that allows you to take off someone by merely putting their name inside of it and how they die. Life becomes, decides he will save the world by taking out all the evildoers within it. He will become judge, jury, and executioner himself. Also becoming the most mad lad psychopath protagonist known in anime history. All hell breaks loose where Light meets another hyper intelligent student named L, who is tasked to find the serial killer. A battle of wits, a battle of minds, pen is mightier than the sword. Death Note has it all. Now, let's take you to 2001 in Helsing. In an alternate version of England, vampires run rampant. Unfortunately for us, the Helsing organization is here to put a stop to it. They're the last line of defense against the bloodsuckers and a dangerous new substance that blurs the line between humans and vampires once and for all. Luckily, the organization and its leader, the daughter of the famed vampire hunter himself, Von the Helsing, has a secret weapon. A vampire known as Alucard. This unstoppable one-man army assists the Helsing organization to take down the vampires once and for all. This anime is just... You need a body counter for the people. Many people get heated in this anime. The 90s had it all, man. 2000 style anime, which is insane for graphical intensity of their action scenes. The fight scenes are, I mean, when someone got shot, you followed the bullet through the person. When someone got stabbed, you saw it on the other end of the body. The voice acting was just blood curdling. So Helsing is definitely something you should check out. Now we're going to talk about Paranoia Agent. I've seen the show when it originally aired on Toonami. Didn't know what the hell I was looking at. Watched the show again when it re-aired on Toonami. Didn't know what the hell I was looking at. Still, it reminds me of Evangelion. You watched it. You went, damn, it was okay. But then your brain goes, what did I just watch? Okay. So, this is also from the maker of Boogie Pop Phantom, which is another anime you definitely should check out. So, the story begins when a woman is attacked by a young man with a golden bat. Soon, the city is ablaze with familiar attacks and theories on why they are happening. As two detectives try to solve the case, they get drawn into deeper and deeper into the real world of the assailant, Bat Boy, and what could be causing him to implicate, or not implicate, but what could cause him to do the thing he does. His batting spree, killing spree. And when we're sick to the subject, small pause. We're going to talk about Devilman Crybaby. You know the weird part? I didn't know the name of this anime. I just watched it. Didn't even care for the title. What was I watching on? I think I was watching it on YouTube. And the way it was cut, you never saw the title. And it had one of those recap tags to it where it says, dude does this, and this. Like, you never saw what it was. And I didn't care to look at the comments. I was really going, oh my god, this is nuts. This is when I was watching anime solely on YouTube. We're talking stuff like, Rosario Vampire, we're talking Tenshimuyo, World of Gemini. Saw that on YouTube before I even, realized it was somewhere else. And other things I caught on YouTube back in the day. Kiss at Sis, which that manga ended to. God, so stupidly. I really hate the fact the way it ended. No closure. But it was, but it was like a, let's just, boom, here you go. But anyway. Again, that's for another day. All right, Delamere Crybaby takes place when best friends Ryo and Akira are swept into a blood-filled world of demons when the latter becomes the title character Deadman. Soon, they're pitted against all kinds of chaotic creatures, but there is something rotten in the core of their friendship, and this unbelievable journey will push it to its breaking point. This anime has... It's one of those best friends turn enemy kind of things, or best friend ideology changes kind of things, Tetsuo Kaneha kind of crap going on, but it is a insane watch. So I implore you guys to check it out, and we're gonna do the end finally. I mentioned Boogie Pop fandom. And remember I said it was maybe the same person for Paranoid Agent. Again, psychological theory. Psychological fillers. Okay. So Boogie Pop fandom. When a strange light appears in the sky, unexplained events begin to plague a group of high school students in this atmospheric, utterly unique story. The characters are connected together by a phyllotic figure known as Boogie Pop, rumored to be a personification of death. The urban legend looms large over these bleak tales as a splat of brutality, murders, inspired a renewed interest in the mythic Boogie Pop. Now, though these episodes are kind of connected when you watch them, there is basically one of those overarching mysteries that you have to kind of, you find yourself kind of hooked in. Each story is the creep factor in each story ramps up as each episode kind of progresses, leading you to kind of a if you watch another, that type of ending is what we're kind of get here. That ending is the best way to describe Boogie Pop fandom. That, okay, I'm shocked. I didn't know what's going on. What just happened? That type of ending. So, those, and again, these shows in no particular order. I didn't go five, best ones of all time. I didn't do that. That's just my own opinion. But these shows are definitely something to check out if you're really a horror fan. Now, with Dororo is another one. If you want to just be straight psychological, Durara. It's not horror. It's kind of action, suspense. What really is going on is your cup of tea. Goblin Slayer is straight up just mass murder. What's another one? Tokyo Ghoul. One of my favorites because Unravel is the best theme song ever, and I will. It plays, I stop. So, those are examples of some shows that you guys should check out. If I left some off, if I left some on the cutting room floor, please let me know. But that about wraps us up for the Halloween episode of WeChat Radio. It's been a while since I've done one of these. I want to do these more, mainly because I want to mainly talk about the stuff that's going on in the fall season. Circa Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, Akiba Maid War, Eminence of Shadow, hell, even Peter Grill Season 2, Peter Grill. Yeah. I'm going to be doing individual episodes to kind of do a catch up to where we are type things to give you my opinion on the shows. So be on the lookout for those. And as always, thank you for listening to Weeb Chat Radio. We will be back with more stuff. I got some things cooking as planned down the pipe to give you guys more content. And happy Halloween, guys. I hope you guys have a safe Halloween. Hope November starts off awesome for you guys. The countdown to the end of the year begins. The countdown to Anime Awards begins. The countdown to Best Boy, Best Girl, Best Show. You know, we're talking about the year in awards about to kick in. So we're going to do our countdown for the end of the year. I hope you guys be there for us. And we'll see you again. This is WeChat Radio. Peace out.